I will be reading from Luke 15, 3 through 7 to begin with, in your pew Bible, 908. So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep, and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture, and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Next, I will read John 10:11 through 16, your pew Bible, 9:33. "I am the good shepherd. The good Lord lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd."
We are poor little sheep who have lost our way. Ba, ba, ba. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece were everywhere. Its fleece was white as snow. Probably had fleas too, right? Everywhere that Mary went, Mary went, Mary went. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Oh, and by the way, whoever lost this key back in November, it's still here. Evidently, you haven't been searching diligently for it. But today, we look at the seventh window. The one back in the corner next to Ed. The window that deals with the Good Shepherd. This is the seventh in our series, Looking Through the Glass. And actually, it's just after 11:30. I guess I could have done two windows today. Except lunch might be cold by the time we got out. I had considered that. Since last Sunday, we would have done that window, but the ice and the snow had different ideas. However, I will tell you, we will skip the next window next week so that we will do the Garden of Gethsemane. Then we will come back to the other window. And there's a reason for all of that. But today we are looking at the Good Shepherd window. Now, if you look closely at that window, in addition to Jesus being present carrying the shepherd's crook, back in the far corner there is a tree that represents the tree of life which God brings within Jesus. If you look around, there's pasture land all behind Jesus and even in front for the shepherds to bring their sheep so the sheep will have a place to eat. If you look down in the lower left corner, you will see part of a stream representing the life-giving waters that are provided for the sheep. And here the Good Shepherd is providing all of those things for the sheep. Jesus is flanked by two sheep who are looking at him actually with pleasant looks on their face. They're very pleased that they're with Jesus and that Jesus is carrying a smaller lamb. Is there anything that anyone notices different, though, about this window than what we might think, anyone who can see it, than what we might think about and what we might see in other windows? Okay, well, one thing, his hand's not raised. Yes. Yes, he is wearing a gold-colored tunic rather than white or off-white. If you look in every other window in here with a picture of Jesus, he's wearing either white or an off-white grayish kind of robe or tunic. In this particular case, it's gold. Not only to possibly symbolize Jesus and what a great gift he is, but I think very possibly because of those wealthy, righteous persons who were in his audience to represent the persons that would go looking for something, and yet only if it was of value to them, not because it was of value to anyone else. Because if you go back to verses 1 and 2, we find in this particular setting, Jesus is telling a series of parables about things that have been lost. Lost sheep, lost coin, and a lost son. Actually, I think two lost sons, the prodigal son and his older brother, in their own ways were lost. But in that setting, Jesus has tax collectors and other sinners around him. And he has scribes and Pharisees around him. As represented by those who would be wealthy, as representative of those who would not think they needed to go out and find anything. So what if I lost one sheep? I got 99 more. It's just the cost of doing business. Now, there is actually a joyous fellowship that has been going on with Jesus and one of these groups. It is Jesus, not the scribes and Pharisees, who has fellowship with the tax collectors and the other sinners that are in the audience. And this has really aroused displeasure by those really religious, righteous folks, the Pharisees, the scribes who were a subset of the Pharisees, the Sadducees who were extremely wealthy landowners and businessmen in the area as well. And all of them are present in the parable in Luke. As I said, Jesus tells three parables here of loss and recovery. There is good news at the end of each of these parables. Good news at recovery. Today we're only going to look at the lost sheep, along with Jesus saying about the good shepherd in John chapter 10. But at the same time, I think that saying has connections with finding those who are lost and restoring them to God's grace. As I asked the children earlier what they would think about and how they would feel if they went home and their pet was missing, I would ask you, have you ever lost something that is precious to you? Have you ever lost anything that was precious? Someone in here is no longer permitted to get little diamond stud earrings out of the jewelry box and put them on standing where the carpet is, because they were searched for days and finally found. Perhaps you've lost something else, whether it was a piece of jewelry, and I know many of you don't have much jewelry, right? Or whether it was pets, or whether it was a job, or whether it was something else that was of extreme importance to you. But how would you feel? How worried would you become? We can imagine, or perhaps we have been there. Some people, as I said, might think, well, you know, shepherd's got 99, that's the cost of doing business, so what if he loses one? But here in this story, And also in the saying in John, Jesus is letting his audience know that God cares for even the most seemingly insignificant person in the world. It's a reference, obviously, to God's mercy. And the life of Jesus represents God's quest for the lost sheep, or in the next parable, the lost coin, or in the following parable, the lost sons, or in the saying in John chapter 10, those sheep who are of a different fold, the Gentiles. Anyone who is separate from God and in need of His grace. The acceptance of Jesus' fellowship is seen here in this particular series of parables and in John chapter 10 as a sense of repentance as the people come to Jesus and they continue to follow them. And Jesus' acceptance is an offer of forgiveness. Forgiveness to any who will come, to any who will repent, regardless of where they may be in life. Jesus, in fact, says here that heaven, which in this particular instance doesn't just represent all the folks of heaven, but more specifically is a reference to God, that all of heaven rejoices greatly over one lost person that is found. Jesus' antagonists here, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and perhaps even a few of his disciples. Notice, they're there, but we're not told how they're reacting. Jesus' antagonists would agree that they would rejoice in recovering over one of their lost animals, one of their lost sheep, but are resentful that God might accept others that they didn't consider worthy. These sinners who are present, others that they sometimes sought to keep away from the temple or the synagogue unless they particularly agreed with them. They think they're more important to God than those who are not like them, these scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus, in a couple of ways, I think, deals a blow to their pride by saying that God rejoices more over one of these, speaking of the sinners that they don't like, than all of the righteous, or I really think he means here the self-righteous, who think they do not need such repentance. Jesus is that good shepherd who looks for the lost sheep and is not dissuaded from looking. But he issues a twofold call in this series of parables of lostness. A twofold call for both the repentance of the lost sheep and a call to discipleship. To repent of the hard attitudes toward others and to seek them also. I think in this series of parables, Jesus very pointedly speaks to both groups in his audience. Those who recognize their lostness, the tax collectors and other sinners, and those who in their own way have become misguided and misplaced because of their hard attitudes, not only toward these other sinners, but the hard attitude toward Jesus. How dare you say that God will rejoice over these people? And Jesus called to them when he says, which one of you, and I imagine, and some years ago in doing a character portrayal on this chapter, from the perspective of one of those sinners in the crowd. If you recall back that far, I said, and Jesus turned and looked at the scribes and the Pharisees when he said, which one of you would not go and find it and rejoice over it? the lost sheep may not always be those who are outsiders, but sheep, as one commentator writes, who have nibbled away from the flock and ended up in a tight spot, sometimes created by their own attitudes. Perhaps even embarrassed to ask for help, and so they remain lost and outside. But who need to repent and return home to God just as much as the sinner who is open with what they do. But with God, when we repent, we find that we're already found. When we go home, we suddenly realize we're already there, because God has already begun to lift us up and hold us, much as the shepherd in the window carrying the lamb in his arms, or the shepherd in the parable who places the lamb on his shoulders and carries him safe, not just safely back to the fold, but safely away from anything that might harm him. Too high for the wolves and the foxes to get to. Luke's point of view is also that everyone needs to repent of something. Even the self-deluding, self-righteous, lost sheep need to cry for God's help. Just as this lost sheep that the shepherd would find was crying out, and he went and found him. So we all, in our own way, need to cry out to God for those things that separate us from God. We need to repent of our exclusive attitudes sometimes. We need to repent when we don't rejoice in the opportunities to help find the lost, the misplaced, or the wanderers. We sometimes need to be rescued from our own selves. But like those other sinners, in our own ways, sometimes we find that we are lost, and we are poor little sheep. We've lost our way. And the only ba, ba, ba we cry is when we're alone. Sometimes we think of ourselves as finders. We church people. We sometimes sing "Bringing in the Sheaves," but we mean that for everybody else. Sometimes we sing and think that we're rescuing the perishing, caring for the dying, but only those that we like. We need to remember that we are being found as well as being finders. We sometimes lose our way and God brings us back. Sometimes we wander away from His mercy. Sometimes, because of our attitudes, we find ourselves separated. We need to be careful, just as those to whom Jesus spoke this parable, and in John chapter 10, when He was speaking about the Good Shepherd. We need to be careful that we do not think we're not lost because we're here. We need to remember that if we're not finding and restoring the lost and the wandered and the misplaced, we're not being true disciples. We're not helping find the sheep. The Good Shepherd spends His life with and for the sheep, Jesus says. Even those who are different from the ones in the sheepfold. That's why He goes out and He looks. And He brings back those lambs who are lost. He's not good because He's the Son of God. We often make that mistake. Jesus is not the Good Shepherd simply because He's the Son of God. Jesus is the Good Shepherd because of His attitude and because of His behavior toward and for the sheep. It's not just because He's the Son of God. But Jesus doesn't sit haughtily by and wait for the sheep to come. Jesus gets down and walks the streets and the fields and the lanes and gets His feet dirty and His hands worn as He looks for and finds and cares for the sheep. The well-being of the sheep defines his efforts. He's also the good shepherd because of his attitude and his behavior in the degree of self-sacrifice for the sheep and for God. But he also tells us in his commission to us in several places in the New Testament that his followers are to hear and heed his call, but when they do, they are to follow his model and be sheep seekers as well. He says, "A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And that actually has some interesting connotations, because sometimes shepherds would lie down, especially if there were times where wolves or other wild animals were rampantly ravaging sheep, or there were thieves that would come in and steal the sheep. Sometimes shepherds, when the sheep were in the sheepfold, would actually lie down across the doorway or the gateway to the sheepfold to make it that much more difficult for the animals or the thieves to come and to ravage the sheep, to keep out the dangers, to be there at the ready to protect the sheep. And when the sheep did get out, he would know and he would call them and would go after them because he knows them, and they would come to him because they knew his voice. But when he also says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, he's not just talking about his death either. He's talking once again about the way he lives his life for the good of the sheep, even to the point of defending them unto death. Jesus says that those who hear my voice as a good shepherd, those whom I call, will come. And that every sheep has an opportunity to hear my voice. Jesus calls all, even those who are of a different fold, we who are Gentiles. We are to care for those whom he calls as well, because he has left us all to be shepherds, to continue his mission as a good shepherd that seeks for and cares for the sheep. We too have the same mission. We may not wear the gold robe, or then again we might. Not because we are Jesus, but because we too are called to look beyond, to take everything that we have and to see it from the perspective of Christ, and to see it from the perspective of what we can do and how we can use it, not just for our own lives, but also for the benefit of other sheep. Jesus rejoices in seeking and caring for each one of us, wherever we may be found, even if he happens to find us sitting in church. The Good Shepherd lives God's love and God's grace and God's mercy. And the Good Shepherd gives us the example to which we too are called. We are called to care. We are called not just to be found sheep, but to be sheep seekers and sheep finders. To show God's mercy, even when sometimes we're tired and worn ourselves. To give the way we live our lives, showing God's grace. And as we follow that good shepherd in the pasture lands that we find, drinking from the life-giving waters that he shares with us, then we also validate that he is indeed our shepherd. That we do not follow the call of another, but we follow the call of our good shepherd. And while we find safety and security in him, we also are to rejoice and do our part in accomplishing the tasks which he has for us, and to rejoice when other sheep are brought home. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious God, we thank You that You have called us, and that when we find ourselves wandering away, You search for us to bring us back into the fold, to keep us safe, so that we too might go out and seek other sheep who have wandered away. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 696, God Leads Us Along. As we sing this hymn, our altar is open. It is open for any who would make any decision for God, any decision to be part of this fellowship, any decision to recommit ourselves to following the Good Shepherd in seeking the sheep. Number 696, God Leads Us Along.